And we're thankful, Lord, that we can be under the umbrella of a word message. How thrilled we are. Thankful that you sent us Elijah the prophet, that we might know, lest you even smite this earth with a curse. And you said, Lord, if you didn't even go away, that you couldn't send the comforter, but you must go away, that you could send the comforter. And I send my peace to you. And all the good and perfect gifts come from above. The wonderful things you've sent to us, Lord, we just want to thank you. We cannot be sufficiently appreciative, but Lord, receive our thanksgiving tonight. I pray, Lord, that as you minister through us, through the reading of the word and through the exhortation with the preaching of the word, Lord, just give us the things that we have need of, whether it be rebuke, chastising, blessings, Lord, exhortation, all that we have need of. We just want to pull on the gift of God that we could be thoroughly furnished by the word of God. We pray for these requests. Think about Brother Jim losing his mother. I pray that you just comfort him, be with them, travel mercies as they go up the road tomorrow. And the lady that had the real serious back condition, I pray that you just touch her and be with her. Lord, my son Brad, as he goes back to Korea to finish out his one-year tour, give him traveling mercies over there. And just, Lord, and while he's there, and the last time they has, keep him safe as our prayer. And, excuse me, brood over his heart while he was there. We just pray, Lord, that each one of us is, while we're here, not knowing how many days or months we have left upon this earth, but God, what manner of people ought we to be seeing, certainly the hours late. I pray for each one of these requests. So many, 15 or 20 needs, some of them serious, some of them not so serious. But Lord, if we could just enter into their suffering, each one, Lord, we could feel their infirmities somehow. I know that there'll be faith in the building, and I know that you'll bring to pass the desired result, Lord, according to your divine plan. You've already paid the price. The price has already been paid. If we can just appropriate that faith, we know every one of these will be made well according to your divine will. Grant these things, Lord, and as we worship you tonight in spirit and in truth, Lord, we invite you to come present, take the uppermost seat, speak to us through your word, as we said, and give us what we have need of, and we'll certainly be careful to thank you. For we ask these things in the lovely name of Jesus. Amen.
Thank you, Brother Terry. You can be seated tonight.
Well, didn't I wake you up this morning, and you were clothed in your right mind? Didn't you walk right in your closet? Each step was right in time. When you were weary from life's journey, didn't my angels carry you so you would know how much I love you? And how many times must I much I love you, and how many ways must my love for you I show, and how many times must I rescue you from trouble so you would know just how much I love you. Fence all around you, and how many nights must I wipe all your tears away, and how many storms must I bring you safely through so you would know how much I journey.
Amen. If the brothers would like to come, lift the altar. We're going to try a new song. We're going to try a new song tonight. It's a really, really old song, but new for me and for us. I'm on my way to heaven, and the journey gets sweeter every day. Let's sing this. D, is that where we ended up? Do you know it? Well, I'm on my way to heaven, and the journey gets sweeter every day. Walking with Jesus, talking with Jesus all along the way. Well, my soul gets so happy that I shout and I sing night and day. I'm on my way to heaven and the journey gets sweeter every day. I'm on my way to heaven and the journey gets sweeter every day. Walking with Jesus, talking with Jesus all along the way. Well, my soul gets so happy that I shout and I sing night and day. Heaven and the journey gets sweeter every day. Well, I've had ups and downs and sorrows and frowns pass my way. But I paid no attention, just dropped the contention, had no time to stay. Problems only weigh you down and cause sunny skies to turn to gray. But I'm on my way to heaven and the journey gets sweeter every day. Help me sing it now. I'm on my way to heaven and the journey gets sweeter every day. Walking with Jesus, talking with Jesus all along the way. My soul gets so happy that I shout and I sing night and day. I'm on my way to heaven and the journey gets sweeter every day. Work on that. I think Brother Bobby Weber has a song for us tonight. If he could come and sing for us.
sign. How could I doubt His tender mercy? Who through life has been my God? All the way my Savior leads me, cheers each winding path I tread, gives me grace for every trial, feeds me with the living bread. Flight to randomness day. This my song through endless ages. Jesus led me all the way. Jesus led me all the way.
Let's stand together. That was a great job, Bobby. That was really, really good. We sure appreciate that tonight. Let's sing together as Brother Donnie gets ready to come. In Jesus' name we press on.
Amen.
In Jesus' name we press on.
I just wonder already who Sister Cato has seen in that sixth dimension. Last time me and Carol was there to see her, we'd bought her a robe for she'd be able to get up and down and all that in, and took her to her for Christmas. I told Carol a while ago, I said, we bought her a nice pretty robe, but the Lord had one much better waiting for her. She probably wasn't ever able to get up. And every time we'd go see her, Brother Donnie, pray for all mine, get up and walk. Pray for all mine, get up and walk. I want to be able to go to church, be able to get up and walk. I told Carol, come to church. I said, you imagine? She got up running. Going through them fields of bluegrass and worshiping and praising God. Oh, my. Well, friends, it's what it's all about. That's right. That's exactly right. Amen. Let's turn tonight to Deuteronomy chapter 31, if you would. We want to speak again tonight on the lives of the prophets. Deuteronomy chapter 31, verse 1. And Moses went and spake these words unto all Israel, and he said unto them, I'm 120 years old this day. I can no more go out and come in. Also the Lord hath said unto me, thou shalt not go over this Jordan. The Lord thy God, he will go before thee, and he will destroy these nations from before thee. And thou shalt possess them. And Joshua, he shall go over before thee, as the Lord hath said. How many would like to be remembered in prayer tonight as we go before the Lord? Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you tonight for your word. Lord, it's just speaking about our sister that's passed today. We know that our times are in your hands. Our life is even directed, the lengths of it, as long as we're in your will. The amount of months and days, as Job said, that we stay on this earth. Lord, we cannot, in one sense of the word, cry for our sister being departed. We are simply so happy for her. Dear God, I pray for her family and friends that will be left behind. May we prepare, Lord Jesus. We believe your word comes that it might be able to prepare us for that great crossing. Take your word tonight, direct it to our hearts. Heavenly Father, as Brother Homer texted me this evening for Sister Margie and real severe pain in her back, I pray that you'd be mindful of our sister tonight, Lord. Just touch her. Other needs of the people here tonight, Father, signified by the raising of a hand, you're mindful of us. Speak to us, would you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. Let's look at verse 7. Moses called unto Joshua and said unto him in the sight of all of Israel, be strong and of a good courage, for thou must go with this people unto the land which the Lord hath sworn unto their fathers to give them, and thou shalt cause them to inherit. Now Joshua by no means was a stranger to the children of Israel. They had seen him already be a servant of God. The Bible calls him a servant of Moses, a minister of Moses, or Moses' minister. So they'd seen him in several situations already. They'd seen God use him as a general against the Amalekites, the first battle that was actually fought in this way as they were going to the land. So God had already, little by little, had been raising Joshua up before the people. But can you imagine trying to take Moses' place? You're going to step over into this position where this man has walked with God that never was a man ever had this type of relationship with God. But I'm convinced that Joshua was settled in who he was, and that Joshua knew he did not have to be Moses number two. But he was totally convinced that his commission, his fulfillment of the word of God, was going to be along with what Moses had to say, but nothing quite like what Moses did. And you realize for each of us as the people of God, as long as we compare ourselves to someone else, and we're constantly using your mother, your father, this man, that woman, whoever it is, and you're using them as something to go by, you'll never be what the Lord wants you to be. As a matter of fact, I've been listening to it for the last few days, that God sends a warning and then a judgment to a man. In there, Brother Branham talks about each of us come on the earth, and he said we have a responsibility. And he said we should go to him who brought us on the earth and find out what that responsibility is. He said for many of us, it is a stewardship. And he said, if a man hires you on a ranch, he said, you shouldn't just go out to the barn and sit down and not know what to do. But you should go to him who hired you and ask him, what do you want me to do? Now, that just makes common sense, doesn't it? So Joshua was feeling all of these things he had to be, because Moses reiterates the same thing over and over again. Be strong, be of good courage, but don't get down, don't be discouraged because of what lays before you. So apparently Joshua needed to hear it. Also, there must have needed to be a double affirmation of this before the people. It apparently would make the transition of the leadership somewhat easier for the people. So God is actually going to come down visibly, and there's going to be a great confirmation from the presence of the pillar of fire. Now watch what God said. Moses called unto Joshua and said unto him, in the sight of all of Israel. Now there's a reason in doing this. God is leading him personally, that the prophet is going to have a personal identification with the ministry that is going to carry the people on after Moses is going to be taken from them. Now remember, Moses is playing a great part, and no one actually is going to take Moses' place. Who could? Who would dare in the right mind set up and say, I'm here to do exactly what Moses done? Only a nut. And Joshua knows he's not called to do that in the first place. So God is going to do this publicly before the people, because it will do something to the people's faith. Now watch what God says here. And he goes on to say in verse 8, and the Lord, he it is that doeth go before thee. He will be with thee. He will not fail thee, neither forsake thee. Now notice what he's doing. Repeating almost word for word what he's already said. Why does God do that? Because we hard-headed, stubborn, good-for-nothing, no-count human beings need to hear it. Why does he do it to us? How many millions of times you figure the Lord's told you directly, indirectly, head on, sideways, backwards, every angle that can be conceived, told you that he loves you? And we still need to hear it, don't we? How many times has he let us know beyond a shadow of a doubt, and you walked out of this very place knowing that God directed a minister, and you walked out saying, Lord, have mercy, that was just for me. And in 2 or 3 days, you'll let the devil tell you, God don't even love you. But you know what? God is so rich in mercy, he'll come right back and do it again and again and again from another angle, and he's doing these people exactly the same way. Thank God for his mercy. Thank God for his mercy. Now he said, the Lord, he it is. Now watch, he's telling them, the Lord, which is Adonai. It is he that will go before you. The Shekinah. It is the person of the Shekinah. Remember, they are not going to have as much visible manifestation as what Moses had. There'll be no Red Seas. Jericho will open up and let them across, and that's the end. That's it. You'll find no more water open up for the children of Israel. You'll find no more of that happening in the administration of Joshua. So God makes the transition with a similar miracle to that which transpired in the ministry of the prophet. But after they cross Jordan, then it's no more repetition of what went on under Moses. But he wants them to know, even though it is invisible, it is the very same God. Oh, I wish we could believe that tonight. I wish we could believe the very same God that was with Peter and James and John, and the very same God that was here in the 50s and the 60s, the very same God that was with our prophet, Brother Branham, is the same Lord Jesus right here in this building tonight. He's the same Lord Jesus in your everyday walk with God. You believe that?
Is he as visible as he was? No. Why? Because it's the dispensation that we are in. He's letting them know his Shekinah is there. And he knows the tendency of human beings. We want to see it. If he's here, then where is he? If he's here, let me see it. Let me feel it. Let me know it for sure. But a declaration of our faith is even more real and more complementary to the Word of God than if we feel it. We look and say, I believe it. He said he's here. I know he is here. Oh my. Notice he said, he it is that does go before thee. He will be with thee. Now what's he going to do? He's going to guide, direct, assist, protect. He's going to do everything that he promised he would do. He's just assuring them by the word. My, what a thing for a prophet of God to say. Now he's got a reason in doing this, and you'll find out in a little bit why they needed to hear this. He it is that doeth go before thee. He will be with thee. He will not fail thee, neither forsake thee. He's going to do everything that he said. He'll give you strength when you're out there fighting. He'll give you every victory that you need. Notice now in verse 14. Now watch how God does this. And the Lord said unto Moses, behold, thy days approach that thou must die. Call Joshua and present yourselves in the tabernacle of the congregation, that I may give him a charge. And Moses and Joshua went and presented themselves in the tabernacle of the congregation. Notice how God looks at death. He tells Moses, it's coming time, you're going to have to die. I mean, it's just like drop a piece of bread in the toaster, fry your egg, fix your bacon, get a glass of water, sweep the floor. And you're going to have to die. No big deal. I mean, that's out of the ordinary. You're going to have to die. Okay, so I'm going to die. Oh, children, if we only realize what death is to a saint of God, God's just telling him like it's another one of his duties. And life consists of death. And look at what he's going to do. God is actually going to give him the day. God is pretty much going to give him the hour. God is going to give him the very leading up to that time. And Moses is not going to scream and holler and kick. It's just another one of life's duties. Hey, you know what? Today I got to die. Today I've got to die. I'm just going to go up and lay down on the rock there. And amen. All of a sudden, the rock's going to pack me away. And the devil's going to look from a graveyard. And he ain't going to be able to find it because the mighty God himself is going to bury me up there. Praise be to God. Notice, oh my, he had already asked God now. This is heartbreaking for me because Moses has led the children of Israel this far. He's been allowed by the Spirit of God to do what no other man had ever done. And many of these feats that God allowed him to do would never be repeated again by any man. And yet God has now told him that he will not let him go. Now Moses, this is not new to Moses. Moses has already pleaded with God, basically begged God, asked God over and over again to reconsider this and let him go over. Watch this in Deuteronomy chapter 3, verse 23. I besought the Lord at that time saying, O Lord God, thou wast begin to show thy servant thy greatness and thy mighty hand. For what God is there in heaven or in earth that can do according to thy works and according to thy might? I pray thee, let me go over. Let me go over and see the good land that's beyond Jordan. Now, what you notice now, coming back to what we dealt with last Wednesday night. Moses is on this side of Jordan, but he considers the promised land on the other side. Moses, now the 2.5 tribes are satisfied living where Moses was going to die. But Moses wasn't satisfied. To Moses, it was settling for less. It was absolutely living less than what he knew God had for him. So he petitions God. Now remember, God had changed so many things about his destruction of the children of Israel, all these different things, and it was simply the petition of the mediator that had caused God's direction to totally change. And now Moses thinks maybe for himself, if I ask him, I know he'll do it. I know he will. I just know if I petition him, he'll let me go over. So Moses comes to him so humbly, and my, he knew the divine approach to God. You imagine him coming with his attitude right, his spirit right, and everything about him right. He said, please, let me go over. Would you consider it? Please, sir. I know I've done wrong, but you forgive them. Forgive me, would you? Lord, children, there's no way that you and I can imagine how that pulled on God's heart. He said, I pray thee, let me go over and see the good land that is beyond Jordan, that goodly mountain in Lebanon. But the Lord was wroth with me for your sakes and would not hear me. And the Lord said unto me, let it suffice thee or satisfy thee. Speak no more unto me of this matter. God is so moved. God is so, can I say it in human language so we'll understand it? God is so tore up that he just says, don't ask me. Don't ask me again. Just let this be satisfaction to you. You're not going and you're not changing my mind. Don't mention it. I can't take it, Moses. I can't take it when you come to me like that. Just don't ask me. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, God. Get thee up to the top of Pisgah and lift up thine eyes westward and northward and southward and eastward and behold it with thine eyes, for thou shalt not go over this Jordan. Now watch, Moses and God are still identifying the border of the promised land with Jordan. Amen. Well, if God says it, the prophet says it, and I'm going to say the same thing they say. Now, are there people around this message who are in the fringes of this message, who never really embrace its doctrines, who never really embrace its teachings and the fullness of what this message does? There are. They're in different parts of the world. I've met them myself. I know so. They won't preach quotes. They won't read quotes. They want to, you know, well, Brother Branham was a prophet, but if we do that, then people will call us a man worshiper or called or whatever more. And it's like they say, well, I know it's there. Go ahead and stand on top of that Mount Pisgah if you want to. I want to go across Jordan myself. Amen. I'm not ashamed to read quotes. I love them. I've been sending myself quotes all day long from tapes I've been listening to. Amen. I believe them, friends. I believe them. Now notice, but charge Joshua and encourage him and strengthen him, for he shall go over before this people and he shall cause them to inherit the land which thou shalt see. Now watch Deuteronomy chapter 4 verse 21. He reiterates it again. Furthermore, the Lord was angry with me for your sake and swear. That I should not go over Jordan, that I should not go into the good land, which the Lord thy God giveth thee for an inheritance. But I must die in this land. I must not go over Jordan, but ye shall go over and possess that good land. Take heed unto yourselves, lest ye forget the covenant of the Lord your God, which he made with you, and make you a graven image or the likeness of anything which the Lord thy God hath forbidden thee. Now listen, this is why. For the Lord thy God is a consuming fire. Even a jealous God. You see, when people in this age just preach that God is love, they're only preaching one attribute. God is not only love, but God is a consuming fire. And that word consume is to burn or annihilate. Now you see what a shock it's going to be for the preachers of the day and the thousands of people that they are leading by their deceptive teaching when they are consumed by this God that all they know about is that he's love. Praise the Lord, saints. Now watch. Let's look and back again in chapter 31, verse 14. And the Lord said unto Moses, behold, thy days approach that thou must die. Now, you know, God doesn't mince words with him, but he knows this. He's had a long time to talk about it, a long time to plan it. He's already been knowing that it's going to come to pass. And the time of the 40 years is now coming to its termination point. And he says, I want you to call Joshua. I want you and Joshua to present yourself before the door of the the tabernacle of the congregation, and I am going to come down. Now, God, it's not enough that Moses himself just tell Joshua, now look, you're a preacher and you're called of God to do this and do that, but God himself is going to confirm it to Joshua. Praise the Lord. I believe that God can use tongues and interpretation or prophecy, whatever he wants to do, and be able to tell a person, look, brother, you've got a gift in your life. You've got a call in your life. I know God can do all of that. But to me, if God wanted to call a man to preach, it's God's obligation to call that man himself. Gifts, tongues, interpretation might be a verification of something God wants you to do. But this is why I look at God. Men, him's on speaking terms. If he wants to tell me something, I don't figure I have to go through the governor, the senator, and the Supreme Court. I figure he can tell me. Praise the Lord. I look at a call of God as being exactly that. A call of God from God. If God's got something for you to do, I don't figure it out to tell your grandma, your Uncle Bernie, and your Aunt Lucy Bell, and Aunt so-and-so, and cousin so-and-so, and you get it about the 30 seconds down. If God's got a call for you, God will call you himself. If he don't, forget it. It probably wasn't from God in the first place. So God is now orchestrating all this, but he wants Joshua and the people to be sure that they know God called this man, not just Moses. Praise the Lord. Amen. Now watch in verse 15. And the Lord appeared in the tabernacle. Notice how God does this. The Lord appeared in the tabernacle. In the tabernacle. In the tabernacle. And a pillar of cloud, and the pillar of the cloud stood over the door. Now watch, he comes in the tabernacle first, and then he moves out over the door. Oh my, isn't it strange that he come in the cloud and not in the fire? Now here he come in the cloud, in the tabernacle, and then the scripture says the pillar of the cloud stood over the door. So he appears in the tabernacle, and then he moves out to the doorway where Moses and Joshua are. And the Lord said unto Moses, behold, thou shalt sleep with our fathers, and this people will rise up. And of course, you know, sleep is death. And go a-whoring after the gods of the strangers of the land. Now, why would God say this? Why would God? Moses is fixing to leave. He's fixing to go off the scene. And yet God is going to, as it were, reburden this man and give him an unfolding of hundreds and hundreds of years of the apostasy of the children of Israel. Why not let him go? Why not let the man go, dying, thinking everything's going to be okay? But instead, God unloads this apostate condition upon this man and actually inspires him to write a song, which is Deuteronomy chapter 32, verse 1. And he tells Moses to teach the children of Israel this national anthem. Yeah. So instead of God just letting him die and say, well, you know what? Man, everything's going to be fine after you're gone. They're going to go on. God said, no, I'll tell you what you're going to do. They're going to leave the word. They're going to leave the message that you brought them. They're going to go whore and they're going to get into all kinds of stuff. And I want you to tell them that you know about it. Now watch, thou shalt sleep, but thy fathers and this people will rise up, and they'll go whoring after the gods of the strangers of the land, whether they go to be among them, and will forsake me, and break my covenant, which I have made with them. What a thing. Notice, will forsake me, and these Hebrew words are a wife leaving her husband. Forsake. They will leave me. Their husband. They'll forsake me. Departing from my worship, from my service, from my miracles, from my name, from my magnificence, from my excellence, from my glory. All that I've done for them, and they will leave. And they'll break my covenant, which of course had already broke part of it, we know. And now notice, then God goes in verse 17 and tells Moses what he's going to do after the reaction. You see, our action many times is what causes God to react. even through the preaching of the word, as I've told you before, that many times God will lay on my heart and other ministers' heart to come serve according to the needs and things that's going on in your life. And if you've got something going on, then it will be a reaction through an anointed vessel according to your actions. So the man saying, what in the world did I say that for? Why am I having to preach this? I studied to go this direction, but it is a reaction according to your actions sent by God. Listen at God's reaction to their action. Then my anger shall be kindled against them in that day, and I will forsake them. Wait a minute. I thought God was love. God's going to forsake His chosen? His elect. Well, I mean, aren't we living in a day when you can do whatever you want to do and God don't hold nobody accountable for anything anymore? Can't you see how people warp God's character when they present Him in such a crazy way? Listen at God's reaction to His elect. My anger will be kindled against them in that day, and I will forsake them. Divine goodness turned into divine wrath. Divine mercy, divine deliverance, divine providence turn into divine wrath. Is it just as divine as His grace? It is. Is it just as holy? It is. Is it as pleasant for us? It is not. Now you imagine, what is this wrath? Where is it coming from? Reaction to their action. Reaction to their action. Many of us got spankings and whippings and whatever more you called it whenever you was little. Our parents corrected us and did what they did. And what was their correction? A reaction to our action. Probably most of us have been better off if it had a lot more reactions. We might not have near as many actions. That's why our kids in this day are so stubborn and hard-headed. Because parents are reacting a lot less than what they used to. And the kids are acting a lot more. Praise the Lord. And it's a great balance. We know that. But look at it. It is divine order to have a reaction to a wrong action. So God says, this is going to be my reaction to your action. I'll just kind of turn my head and I'll let you go on and do whatever you want to do. And I won't say nothing about it. And I won't have my prophets to blast you and nothing like that. Because after all, I'm a God of love and mercy. And I can't get angry and can't get upset at y'all, because if I do that, I'm a mean God. I'm a hateful God. So I've got to just be loving and gentle and let y'all do whatever you want to do. That ain't my God. Don't misunderstand me. I could not serve God like that. He's no more than a man. He's a wishy-washy. Then my anger shall be kindled against them in that day, and I will forsake them. Listen what else he goes to say. I will hide my face. I will hide my face from them, and they shall be devoured. You see, when God turns His face away from us, friends, oh my, if the devil's against us, that's one thing. If the world is against us, but if God ever turns His face against us, oh Lord, please don't ever do that, God. And many evils and troubles shall befall them. So they will say in that day, are not these evils come upon us because our God is not among us? Lord Jesus, why do we go that way? Why do we have to go that way when we know the end result will lead us to such? My anger will be kindled against them, and I will forsake them, and I will hide my face from them. Oh, America, America. How off God would have gathered you. How God would have gathered you together. World, oh, how off God would have gathered you. But now your house is left unto you desolate. Lord Jesus, thank God for mercy to His children. Thank God for a rapture. You know what? I thank God for a prophet, because if it hadn't been for that, you and I had been under the same curse. God said, lest I come and smite the earth with the curse, I'll send you Elijah the prophet. You know what pulled us out from the curse of Laodicea, Brother Jim? It wasn't, come on, don't get quiet on me. It wasn't just believing in the cross. It wasn't just believing in the blood of Jesus or believing in speaking in tongues. It was God sending a prophet to Malachi 4, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse. Oh my, verse 18, watch how God repeats it again. For the certainty of the fact. To let him know. We know God does that in scripture many times. That when he wants something to be so certain, he'll repeat it. That's why Jesus would say in the New Testament, verily, verily, I say it unto you. You know, in our language, one time is enough. But it was a double confirmation to make it so certain to them. And here again in verse 18, notice what God says. I will surely hide my face in that day. It wasn't enough for him to just say it in verse 17. And you imagine now Moses is fixing to leave. He's fixing to go home. And God unloads all this on him. Oh, my. No wonder he told Joshua, be encouraged. Yeah, right. Boy, this is really an encouraging sermon. Be encouraged. You're going to lead them to the land. Glory to God. Everybody's going to move in and take over. For what? How long? For what good? What good's all this trouble going to do me? What good is all these burdens I'm going to bear? Well, now you're telling me they're only going to be there for so long and they're going to do all this. But God said, be strong. Be of good courage. For the Lord thy God is with thee. Amen. Praise God. Oh my. Notice in verse 19. Now therefore, write ye this song for you. And teach it to the children of Israel. And put it in their mouths. That this song may be a witness for me against the children of Israel. Wonder what it is about a song. I wonder how many of you people tonight could remember 10 sermon titles that Brother Branham or myself as your pastor has preached to you in the last 27 years. Besides card human beings, Brother Jim, that don't count because that's the most recursive of all of them. How many of you could remember 10 sermon titles? A few of you? That's good. How many of you could remember 10 songs, maybe worldly songs, that you used to listen to when you was out in the world? And maybe you've forgotten them, but you're going through Walmart or Lowe's or whatever more, and they play it everywhere anymore. And all of a sudden that song, raindrops keep falling on my head. Oh, dear God, I've ruined the whole sermon. Now y'all be sitting there singing it the rest of the service. Let's stand. We'll all be dismissed. Now, what is it about a song? And you'll shake and shake. Get out of here, devil. Leave me alone, devil. Some of y'all are trying to do right now. Get out of here, devil. Leave me alone. I don't want to sing that worldly song. But what is it about a song that has the ability of so imprinting on our spirit or our being that would even have, to one sense, a greater effect than just preaching? What is it that a song would do? And maybe it's been years and years since you even heard that song, and then you're going to Walmart and you're pushing your buggy and you're getting your pie crust and your Jell-O and, you know, everything, you're begging for supper and da, 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 and your fingers da, da, da. Watch it, you're going to be dancing. Watch it now. Lord Jesus, forgive me. Lord, help me. You're going out to the car. Keep falling on me. All during the day. Don't sit there and look at me like you all don't know what I'm talking about. Well, for some of you, I realize it was rock and roll of the 20s. I don't know any of the songs that bothered some of you folks. So. What is it about a song? Now listen, why would God separate this from the Torah? Why would God separate this from the Ten Commandments and have this written in a song? A song. And he wants Moses to teach it to him. That's got a ton of verses. Teach it to him, teach it to their children, hand it on down from one generation to the next to the next. And it'll be a witness for me against them. Oh my. You know, national songs have a deep hold on our memory. America, America,
God shed his grace on thee. When did some of y'all learn that? You was a little bitty feller. By dawn's early light, we look across to them. When you sing that, I pledge allegiance. Where did many of you learn that? A little bitty feller. And you may not remember 10 sermon titles or remember things that in one sense is even more important. But yet some of those little songs that you learned in Sunday school or nursery rhymes, and your little granddaughter or grandson goes to saying it, and from somewhere down in you, you go to harmonize along right with them. Mary had a little lamb, little lamb, little. And there you are, 80 years old. And you're saying, what in the world? Because it embeds in you. Now you imagine that God is going to inspire this prophet, and it's actually called Moses' Song. Moses' Song. God tells him now, I want you to compose this song. And I want you to teach it. Aristotle says this. People anciently sung their laws. Now all of you are familiar with Aristotle. So they would sing their laws. Thou shalt not lie, and thou shalt not do this, and thou shalt not do that. And it began such a harmony. Why? Because songs somehow attach themselves to the human spirit. Now you don't think with your brain, you think with your spirit. That's why when a person loses their mind, their brain ain't gone nowhere. It's their spirit that's roaming. When Brother Branham went to the insane institution and started talking to that little girl that was in there, and he said, you wanted to marry a preacher and this and that and the other, he said, I found her spirit and brought her spirit back. Her brain cells is right there. The matter, all that, the brain stem, the mind wasn't gone anywhere. But it was the spirit, with the spirit. That's why when people go to losing their mind, something is tampered not only physically in the anatomy, but something is going on with the spirit itself. Now God knew this. He knew that they might forget certain things about the law. But teach them this song. Make it their national prophetic anthem. Now watch, Tully, which also was a Roman historian, tells us that the custom among the ancient Romans was to have the virtues and the praises of their famous men sung at feasts and festivals. So when they would gather together, they would have the virtues and all the recommendable things about great people. They would have them sung over and over again. And what they found that this was a means that would make those who were breaking the law, it would actually smite them with conviction, as we would say, and it made them want to be better people. As they would stand there and sing about so-and-so, well, so-and-so was a good man, and so-and-so done this, and so-and-so, and they're standing, and this was their great uncle or their grandfather, and their heart would smite them, and hear this song is being sung. God knows what he's doing, though. Now watch, he says, now therefore write ye this song, and teach it to the children of Israel, and put it in their mouths. Put it in their mouths. Don't you understand, friends, the power of music? Don't you understand when you listen to country music and rock and roll and even to a lot of this so-called gospel, which ain't nothing but rock and roll with gospel lyrics to it. When you listen to a bunch of this song, I'll tell you one thing, you can absolutely be free of adultery, clean of adultery. But you got to listen to a bunch of this trash that's on the radio, somebody run off with somebody else's husband or somebody else's wife, or now you never know what they're running off with. But you got to listen to all that stuff, and before long it'll plant things in your mind, in your spirit, and you'll begin to think about that and this affair and this going on. Why? Because there's something about songs. Oh my. Don't you understand why it's so important to sing the right kind of things? It's the same way that coming to the house of God. You can be so down and so weary, and the song leader will get up and it may be a little bit dry and a little bit slow, but if that man will be led by the Spirit of God and sing the right songs, he'll have the ability, anointed by the Holy Ghost, to lift your spirits right up. When I walk out of there and another man walk out, you're ready to receive the word. If not, you'll sit there and look, and I gotta pull and pull, and you're still trying to get up. Songs are important. Let me tell you something. Don't just sing in church. Go with a song on your heart. Can you imagine people coming before the prophet, and you discern them and say, you cross your bridges before you get to them. You're a deep thinker. You worry about things that never come to pass. Go off this platform. Be happy. Never be sad again. Don't never think a sad thought. Think good thoughts. Sing good songs.
Well, poor little me, lonely little me, sad old me, bless his name. Hallelujah, poor little me. Hallelujah, poor little me. That's sick, man, ain't it? Well, that's the way some of y'all sound spiritually. And some of them old mournful, sad songs that you sing all the time. Sometimes you need some of them good old snappy gospel songs, as Brother Branham talked. Praise the Lord. I hate a pre-service that sounds like a funeral. I hate to be called out when I'm not sure if there's going to be a body laying there in a casket or what's going on. Praise the Lord. Now, I don't have to be called out rolling out that door and turning somersaults. I knew a preacher back in Pentecost and they called him out on the tent. They brought him out wide open. The guitar was going wide open. The piano was going wide open. Everything was going wide open. He entered in the side on the right hand side, and when he did, he done handstands all the way across the platform. I mean, he was jumping and shouting and the crowd went berserk. Don't worry about that. If I did that, I'd be in the ER. I don't have to be brought out on a bunch of motion, but I do like being brought out when spirits of the human beings are soaring in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. And it don't always have to be on a fast song. It can be on a song that is slow, but yet it is so moving and uplifting. Oh my, come on saints. You know exactly what I'm talking about. That's why when we get done with the word, I want to sing a little bit, because sometimes the word cuts us and it flays us and it lays it on. Don't get up and walk out. Lay in here a little bit, let a little bit of oil be poured in on you. Well, you say, I got mad and I left. You need to hang around. Let the Holy Ghost get rid of that old madness that's on you. And a little bit of worship and a little bit of songs will take care of it. Oh, Elisha was sitting one day and he was so mad he couldn't get in the spirit and he couldn't get in the anointing. He said, call me a guitar player or a minstrel in that day. Bring somebody over here. Man, you imagine they kept their distance away from that prophet because he had a real temper anyway. So they got over and started playing a little bit, and all of a sudden they seen a little crack in that old frown and they seen a smile, and directly the Spirit of God came on it. The Holy Ghost couldn't even come on him to get rid of that old foul mood. Brother Bev said, shame on you, Church of Christ, that don't believe in stringed instruments in church. Shame on us message folks that don't believe in the power of music to be able to set us free. Amen. Oh my. Notice in verse 20, for when I shall have brought them into the land, which I swore unto their fathers, it floweth of milk and honey, and they shall have eaten and filled themselves in wax and fat. Now listen, what's going to happen? Then will they turn unto other gods. Friends, this is why I don't always pray for prosperity for people. If you can handle prosperity, so be it. But I'm not telling you, prosperity has been the ruin of many people. That's why the prophet tells us in the church age book, most of God's people are not rich. As a matter of fact, most of them are poor. Thank God there's some, because who'd be here to pay the lights if everybody was, you know, living on social assistance and nobody working? But you realize what's happening to them. When they were in such need, they prayed more. When we get to a spot, we don't have to pray, God, we need a car. God, we need a car. But you know what? We get to a spot financially, we can buy whatever we want. So we don't pray about it. God, we need a house. God, we need our rent. God, we need this. We need that. Let me tell you something. God don't want you dependent on the deacons of this church neither. God wants you dependent on Him. God may use the deacons. God may use this brother, that brother. But don't put the deacons before God. Hallelujah. Well, the church will take care of it. It's not the church's responsibility. The church is not social services. The church is not welfare. God wants you to bring your needs to Him. Come on, children, don't get quiet on me now. It's the truth. We substitute, if we're not careful, we'll substitute the church for God. We ought to put God first in absolutely everything. Don't put an aspirin in front of God. Don't put an x-ray in front of God. Put God first in everything in your life. When you got need, bring it to the Lord. And now say, Lord, should I ask the deacon? Should I ask this or that? But first of all, Lord, I'm going to go to you, just see what you'll do about it. Oh my, hallelujah. But what they done, the more they got, then they say, hey, you know what, we don't need to pray like we used to. We got a nice church. We got a nice music. We got all this sort of stuff. They don't even praying for the service, are they? Brother Donnie's anointed. We know he is. We got good music. We got good singers there. Do we really need to pray over the service? Oh my, they shall have eaten and filled themselves and waxen fat. Then will they turn unto other gods and serve them and provoke me and break my covenant. I'm going to tell you, friends, God can get quite angry. I don't think of your human anger and your temper because it's totally different from ours. And these are terms that are written so we can understand it. But God can get mad. Fighting mad. Praise the Lord. And it came to pass, shall come to pass, when many evils and troubles are befallen them, that this song shall testify against them as a witness. For it shall not be forgotten. Isn't this amazing that God is going to so attach this song to their memories that it will not be forgotten. Their laws will be forgotten. He will be forgotten. Their need of God will be forgotten. Their bondage in Egypt will be forgotten. But this song will not be forgotten. Oh my. And it shall come to pass when many evils and troubles are befallen them, this song shall testify against them as a witness, for it shall not be forgotten out of the mouths of their seed. For I know their imagination, which they go about even now. You imagine Moses and saying, Lord, what good has it done? What good has it done? You're telling me they're going to do the same thing that their fathers did 40 years ago? It's all this labor, it's all this that I've gone through. I myself am going to miss the land because of their unbelief. And they're going to turn right into this? But friends, you realize all Israel wasn't Israel. All message folks ain't message folks. We're pretty well seeing that for sure, I think, ain't we? All that goes to church is not God's people. But in every generation, God has had some. Everybody that comes to this church, man, we've known it for years and years. Listen to what God's been saying to us for years. He's been telling us people would come and people would go and people would do this and do that. Don't sit around, oh my goodness, I can't believe so and so. Where were they at? Where this, that, the other? Don't get your eyes on no human being. Keep your eyes on the Word. People will come, they will go, but the church stays right on. People will come and go and they follow this man and follow that man and do whatever more. But whenever they do, the Word keeps journeying right on to the divine purpose of God. Now, do you imagine Joshua looking at this? This is at the beginning of his ministry. You mean to tell me I'm going to go in there and labor and pray and do all of this and this is what they're going to? But Joshua, not the ones you're going to place. It won't be the ones you're going to bless. It'll be some of their children or some of their grandchildren or some of their grandchildren. What if the Lord would let me look down through time if I go by the way of the grave and let me see Happy Valley Church 20 years from now if the Lord tarries, or 25 years from now. And then some of these young people are then the married ones and they're the deacon's wives and some of these brothers shares the deacons and whoever would be the preacher. God, but let me look ahead in time and think, Lord, have mercy. You mean all them bobbed women are going to Happy Valley? All them women with the makeup on, and some of them have got preachers on. They're wearing them to church. Who's that preacher? Let me get my hands on him. You think it wouldn't break my heart? And I would think, Lord, have mercy. Have I wasted all these years that I've preached? No, I haven't. I haven't. I'm not wasting my time tonight because there's people here who believe it and live it. It don't mean that our children or our children's children will do the same thing. But I know one thing. God anoints men to speak it and there's going to be somebody to receive it. And His Word will not return unto Him void. So if our church 50 years from now looks like a Baptist church, does that mean I've wasted my time? It certainly does not. That didn't mean Brother Branham wasted his time because some of the message folks knew what they do. Absolutely not. I am proof as one voice. I am proof, and you are proof, Brother Branham. You did not waste your time. Hallelujah, hallelujah. He knew everybody wouldn't stay true, but he knew there would be a people that would. Joshua, this is what you have to use to encourage yourself. Oh my, this song, they'll find themselves just sitting around singing it. It'll just come to them like a national anthem. Oh, say can you see by the dawn's early light. Wow, where'd that come from? I ain't sung that in years. But it's in me. Now, if I was a German, I'd sing their German songs and their national anthems. But I ain't a German. If I was from Peru, if I was from Venezuela, then whatever their songs are, then that would be something to me. But you know what? I don't know none of Venezuela's songs. I don't know none of Peru's songs. Why? I'm not a Peruvian. I was born in this nation right here. And you know what? I believe if there's a song, oh glory to God, if there's a song like this that can be able to stand as a witness against, there's got to be songs that stand as a witness for. Praise be to God. Can you imagine the prophet of God said, whenever we get there and you'll hear me singing, when I've got my little cabin way down in the woods and you'll hear me singing Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound. Say, oh, praise God. Brother Branham made it. You know, imagine being on the other side and some of these songs that we have sung in mortality in time. Who's to say that the Lord won't let little David strike it up a little bit on his harp and us go to singing, and through eternity we'll be worshiping and praising God loves holy music. Oh my, this song is going to testify. Now notice verse 22. And Moses therefore wrote this song the same day and taught it to the children of Israel. Now this would be one difficult song to teach. Be like me having the words before you. Happy Valley will get away from the word. Happy Valley will stray. Happy Valley will come to a place and won't even want to move of the Holy Ghost. They won't want the touch of God. We'll accept psychology instead of the new birth. And I'm standing here teaching you the words to this song. You see, God's ways, friend, are so different than ours, aren't they? This is why people don't understand him. As a matter of fact, you hear Brother Bam saying it this way, and God calling a man to judgment, giving him a warning first. He says it's a why that people can't understand God. He said, because the very God who told Moses, don't make any graven images, is the very same God said, make two images of cherubims of gold and set them one facing the other and make their wings touch. He said, you see, it's without human understanding. And that's why they don't understand it, because they don't understand his nature. So those who read the Bible without understanding God's nature, they make a mess out of it. Those who listen to the message and looking for fault and all that, and they listen to it without God's nature, it's no wonder it drives them nuts. But you and I listen to the same thing. I'm more in love with the message now than I've ever been in all the years I've been in it. Folks are looking for excuse to get out. I'm more in it now than I've ever been in it. Praise God, I love it. I absolutely feed on it. I cry, I shout, I rejoice. I don't know what you folks do with the message, if you still love it or not. I still love it. It's going to change my body one of these days. Praise God. I don't hear apparently what they hear. I heard that prophet say today that he had a bunch of interviews during the week. And he said, the Lord is my witness. Before I left the house, he said, I wrote down every person that was going to be in the interview. I wrote down their questions, the order of their questions, and their answers. Now, when some of you folks leaving the message can do three of those, come talk to me. He said, I've seen the time driving down the road to a meeting. I'd see every person coming in the prayer line. I would know their name, see what clothes they had on, and see where they'd be sitting in the building. As I say, I won't require as many of you, but if you can do at least five, let me know. until you do, I'm going to stick with what God's proved. You want to follow a bunch of these knotheads, a bunch of these theologians that's going to lead you straight to hell? Go right ahead. I'm going to follow a prophet's message that's going to give us a body change. Praise the Lord. Oh, help us, Lord. Moses therefore wrote this song the same day and taught it, instructed them in their demise. Now, it's not necessarily that generation, but they know it's their posterity. Do you understand when you come to church and the Lord may lay something on a preacher's heart and you're sitting there thinking, God, that was good. That was good. But it wasn't for me. I don't smoke. That's why I can dance up a storm and preach against preachers committing adultery. I don't do that. Preach against smoking. Hey, amen. Drinking. I don't do that. I'm not guilty. You're talking about somebody doing this, that, and the other, and we're not guilty. Amen. But there's other times we sat there and, well, I don't know exactly, you know, I believe the Lord had that sin. Then you imagine how are they going to take this? How are they going to fight this new land singing this song? How are you going to take the land fighting these enemies singing this national anthem? We're going away from the word. We're going to backslide. We're going whoring after other gods. We're going to do this. Hallelujah. Here we go to the land. They had to sing this song, the elect did, with an understanding. When somebody gets up and feels led to sing a song about a backslider that's cold and indifferent and they're not where they need to be with God, it might be a nice song, but that don't minister to me. I'm not backslid. I'm not living in a place where I'm not where I need to be with God. Right. Hallelujah. Now somebody says, oh God, that's me, Lord, that's me. Well, good. I'm glad God gave that for you. But that's not me.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Yes. Can you imagine this generation knowing they had to have a revelation? This is not for me. Because I will not do this. I read scriptures about the tribulation, but I read them with no association whatsoever with me. I read about hell, but I read it with no association whatsoever with me. Because I am not going there. I am not going to the tribulation. Is it prophecy? It is, but it ain't my future. It ain't my destiny. Somebody's going to be lost, but it ain't me. Somebody's going to miss the rapture, but it ain't me. What about a church? Somebody's going to go in the tribulation prayer, but it ain't us. So we're not saying, well, here I am in tribulation. Here I am on a bar stool again. Here I am backslid. I don't sing them songs. Because I ain't backslid. I'm in love with God. I do what I need to do to keep my walk where He wants it to be. Come on. Oh, you're bragging. I'm not bragging nothing. I'm talking about reality. If a person can say they're backslid and they're telling the truth and I can stand and say I'm not, I'm saying the same thing they're saying except in a more positive way. I am not backslid. I am not away from God. I'm closer to God than I've ever been. I love Him more. I've got His word more than I've ever had it. And no, I'm not backward nor bashful about saying it. And if you ain't, you better get with the program. Oh my. Now Moses writes this song and teaches it to the children of Israel. We'll close. And he gave Joshua the son of Nun a charge and said, be strong and be of good courage. Okay, right. So we've just had a couple million people singing this battle hymn of Israel. Speaking about their destiny, how they're going to go hoard and going to do all this, that, and other. And God turns right around and speaks to Joshua and said, now come on, smile. That's it. That's cool. There you go. This ain't you, Joshua. You got a different spirit in you.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, they got to learn that. But Joshua, this is not your song. Your song is that one that Moses sang when he come across on the other side. And I opened up that Red Sea. That's your song, Joshua.
The Lord is a man of war. That's your song, Joshua. This backsliding song is not your destiny. This song of going whoring is not your destiny, Joshua. Come on, children. Oh, there's people that need to hear songs about being backslidden, being away from God and all this, that, and other. I don't need to hear them because I ain't backslidden. Neither do I plan on backsliding. Amen. I want to be more in love with Him every day. I like to hear songs like, it gets sweeter as the days go by. It gets sweeter. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Oh my, be encouraged, Joshua.
Yeah, okay, all right.
No, I'm serious, Joshua. Be encouraged. Really? Yeah. This song is not you. And this song is not for many of the people you're going to lead in there. This is your song. The Lord is a man of war.
You do know what your song is, don't you? The Lord is my light, the strength of my life.
Psalms 27. Whom shall I fear? Of whom shall I be afraid? This is our song. The rapture song. Though they rise against me, hallelujah, they will not defeat me. This is our song. Don't sing to me about tribulation because that ain't where I'm going. Don't sing to me about hell because that ain't where I'm going. Amen. But the Lord is my light and the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Of whom shall I fear?
Praise be to God.
And he gave Joshua the son of Nun a charge and said, be strong and of good courage, for thou shalt bring the children of Israel to the land which I swear unto them, and I will be with thee. So he had to separate this prophetic song from his own destiny. So he's sharing this song too, Brother Rob. He's sharing this song. Now it's implanted. You imagine how many days that Satan turned that song against him? How do you know it's not you? How do you know you're not going to be the one hoarding going away? He'd have to come back to his own experience with God and God telling him, I'll never leave you, Joshua. I'll be with you. You understand how Satan learns how to use the word? He'll use that word, the very words you love, and war against your soul with that very word. Oh, my. It came to pass that Moses had made an end of writing the words of this law in a book until they were finished. Moses commanded the Levites which bear the ark of the covenant of the Lord, saying, take this book of the law and put it in the side of the ark of the covenant. Now, I want you to notice, and we'll close. Isn't it amazing that God never allowed the Torah to actually be put inside the ark? Let's stand. Put that smartphone away and quit trying to check me out on that. Hallelujah. The Torah was never laid by divine instruction of God inside the Ark of the Covenant. Only the Ten Commandments. Wasn't it the Word of God? It was. But it didn't have quite the same category. I'll let you think on that till next week. You love Him.
Amen.
Now you tell me, what should I sing now? What song do I need to sing? We're tribulation bound?
No.
We're hell bound?
No.
We're mark of the beast people?
No.
Going up yonder? Be a good one. I'm hoping for a suggestion. You see, there's something that identifies with us. Something that identifies. Can you imagine when God's prophet sends on the earth and he preaches doing God a service at Jeffersonville? He preaches there first and he preaches it in Shreveport.
And he reads from what Moses, when he commands the children of Israel, he said, don't add to what I say. Don't take away from what I say. And Brother Branham reads that same scripture. And then he says, so say I in the name of Jesus Christ. Don't you add to what I say. Don't you take away from what I say. Don't you take all these new things flying around. And there'll be more than that that will come. But you stay with what the Lord God has commanded. For it looks like the gates of the city will be opening before long.
Amen.
Praise God. Was it prophetic? It was. There was all kinds of things going around then. And there's been even more come since he left. And some people added to it. Some took away. Some went here. Some went there. But that's not who we are.
Amen.
We're going up yonder.
Amen.
We're not going yet down yonder. And we're not staying here. We're going up yonder.
Amen.
We're fixing to leave this world by God's grace. When you talk about apostasy, don't look at me when you say that word.
Amen.
I am not an apostate. I follow the teaching of the apostles, not apostate.
Amen.
I'm original Acts 2:38 Christian.
Yes, sir.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
I'm a Holy Ghost filled, fire baptized saint of God. I'm not a hypocrite. I'm not a backslider. I'm not a bench warmer. I'm a son of God filled with the Holy Ghost, and my name is on the book, and the seals have come open and given me my identity. Amen. And I heard the prophet say it before he's getting ready to come to church. He said, oh, if the church can recognize who she is, one day she will, and the rapture will go when she recognizes who she is. That's my song. I said, that's my song. Isn't it amazing? Christ the mystery of God revealed when Brother Brennan preaches that. And he sings a song. And at 2 o'clock. 2 o'clock. He takes the song an octave higher. The very same song an octave higher. And he said, look back at the clock. He said, at 2 o'clock, second pull over. Third pull. What was it? It was a new song. Went up a key higher. Glory. Went up an octave higher. Why would God do that in a song? God loves music. Do you reckon a robin understands what key he's singing in? Do you reckon a cardinal or these beautiful songbirds, you reckon they've ever knew what D or C or A or F minor? Or you reckon if I could sit down and take a guitar and show a cardinal an augmented chord on a guitar or a ninth or a 13th or a seventh or something like that, and I'd be able to hit that augmented chord on the guitar, and then the robin would say, here, give me that again. I can't reach it, Donnie. I can't reach it. Does he know how to do it? He probably don't know how. He's got the song not because he's smart. Not because he's pretty. He's got the song because it was given to him.
Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Praise be to God. Oh, children, don't you love him? Don't you love him tonight?
God has given us our song. It ain't of apostasy. Now, some of you may go that way. Some of you may leave. Some of you may do this, that, others. It breaks my heart. It does. But that ain't me. If this whole church leaves and goes away, I hate it. I'll cry. It'll break my heart. But that has nothing to do with me. I'm going on. I said, I'm going on. And my song ain't, I'm tribulation bound. I'm hell bound. I'm this, that, and other. I'm going up yonder.
But Joel, I think we have to sing it, buddy. Come on. What you waiting on?
Hallelujah. Praise God. Oh my. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Father.
If you want to know where I'm going.
Come on now, talk to me.
Where I'm going.
Someday soon.
If anybody asks you,
if they want to know what kind of song I'm singing,
where I'm going, where I'm going,
Jesus, we can, Lord.
The heartache that it brings, that's comfort in knowing. I'm gonna soon fly away. Oh, yeah. As God gives me grace, I'll run this Christian race.
Yes, I am, Lord.
I see my Savior.
Be of good courage, Joshua.
So I see
be strong
Lord,
in my Savior.
Take the pain, boo devil.
Come on, Lord. Oh, we bless your name, Lord. There's trouble around us. There's heartache around us, but that ain't our song. Our song is a song of rapture. A song of deliverance, Lord.
As God gives me grace.
Oh, yes, Lord.
I'm going to run this Christian race.
I'm going to run and win it, Lord.
I see my Savior,
my Savior,
face to face.
Sing some sad songs every now and then, sure we do. Do we not get down? But really, that ain't who you are forever. I'll never forget the first time Brother Harold Brown was visiting with us, sharing. Brother Joel was here and he'd sung that song Farther Along. Brother Harold Brown had heard the version that I'd heard most of my life. Farther along we know all about it. I gonna make it to the end of the verse alone. But our brother sung it our way. His way, which become our way. Now, when I hear anybody else sing it the other way, I think, what in the world's the matter with that?
What's the matter with
them? Don't they know the way that song's supposed to be sung? Don't you understand, friends? When we hear Amazing Grace, it means something different to us than it does to church. When we hear Mercy Rewrote My Life, it means something different to us than it does to the rest of the world. Oh, glory.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Is there people going to fall away? They are, but that ain't me. Is there people going into tribulation? They are, but that ain't me.
Amen, amen.
When we see Jesus coming in glory, when He comes from our home in the sky,
let's worship Him before we go now.
We shall meet Him in that bright mansion. We'll understand it all.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Lord God. We worship you, Lord.
Hallelujah.
Be of strong. Hallelujah. Be encouraged. Be encouraged, church.
Glory.
Be encouraged in your battles, in your valleys. You're more than able. We're more than conquerors. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, somebody's going to backslide. Yeah, but that ain't me. Somebody's going to get away from God. I agree, but that ain't me. Let's turn it around the other way. Somebody's going to experience a body change. Why not it be me? Some preacher in this message is going to live above sin. Why not it be me? Somebody's going to live in such a way that when they get up in the morning, the devil don't know what to do with them. Why not it be me? Why not it be you walking before God a victorious walk?
Why not, brother?
Why not? Hallelujah. 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 Praise the Lord, praise
Hallelujah.
The Lord. Oh my.
Glory.
We worship you, Lord Jesus. We worship you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah.
We shall be changed. Changed from this mortal to immortality. In the twinkling of an eye. Oh, we shall be changed. We shall be changed.
I said
we shall be changed.
We're gonna be changed from this mortal
to immortality. Some repairs
shutters they are, letting in the cold, cold, cold air. Say to myself, gonna fix it all when I can find some time. Excited about Laodicea and all it has to give. I couldn't care less if I could buy this world with one solitary dime. For what good would this whole on my mind lately, all I've got is leaving on my mind. Oh, it seems that's all I'm thinking about. So much of my time, how that soon and very soon I'll leave my troubles far behind. Oh, lately I've got leaving on my mind. God is leading.